Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Good evening. We want to welcome you to Booker T. Washington Speaks African American Family Room Forum. Your host is Marshall Washington, Marshall Cabinus Washington Abui. I am your host, and I am the eldest male descendant of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, the legendary educator, founder of Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now named Tuskegee University, and a great spokesman on behalf of the upliftment of African-American people through character building, education, and self-help. And this African-American Family Room Forum is a program that has been on the air, the Blog Talk medium, for almost 2 years. And during that time, we have discussed many, many subjects. In fact, what we have done since the inception of this program was to review the news each week very carefully. Most of the news that we look at is actually what we find on the internet, various internet news outlets, and we consider what's going on in the news that relates to the African-American community and issues that we face in the African-American community, and then we pick a topic that we believe is essential that we can learn from discussing. And the topic that we picked for tonight is based on something recently that appeared in the news. Some of you may have seen it or heard about it, and it concerns LeBron James, the famous basketball star LeBron James, recently acquired by the Los Angeles Lakers, formerly of the Cleveland Cavaliers and previously of the Miami Heat, who has made a great name for himself, not only on the court, but off the court. He's been involved in many projects, especially projects to help the young people, especially African-Americans, but not just African-Americans. And he's shown himself to be a true leader in our community and a true gentleman. And he recently criticized President for using his position as president to divide the races. And President Trump last night struck back at LeBron James, and we'll cover his criticism of LeBron James later. But essentially what he was saying was that he likes Michael Jordan, but he doesn't like LeBron James, primarily because LeBron James criticized his leadership or lack of leadership as the president. Ironically, the head of the Los Angeles Lakers came out in favor of LeBron James, and we're proud of her for taking the position that she has taken. Her name is Jeannie Buss, and on behalf of the team, she said, "We could not be more proud to have LeBron James as part of our Lakers family. He is an incredible, thoughtful, and intelligent leader, and clearly appreciates the power that sports has to unite communities and inspire the world to be a better place. Those efforts should be celebrated by all." And so we're going to go ahead and kick off our discussion. Tonight's topic is it appropriate for professional sports superstars to involve themselves in political controversies? Is it appropriate for political sports superstars to involve themselves in political controversies? And I'll kick off with my opinion. I think it's certainly appropriate for anyone that has the ear the attention of the press and of the world, regardless of what his or her professional occupation may be, to take advantage of that stage to let people know the truth and let people know their opinions, so that we can all become enlightened and be part of the conversation to improve the conditions of our people, not just in our black community, but throughout America and throughout the world. I remember Muhammad Ali back in the 1960s, right after he won the heavyweight boxing championship in 1964, and he took the stand that he was with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad, now that many years have passed since he was alive, was probably the most successful social reformer in the history of African Americans, having converted hundreds of thousands of people, some of whom were former prisoners in the penal system and some who were former drug addicts and alcoholics and robbers and thieves. And many of the women were women who he raised up from a low status in the society and dressed them up and cleaned them up and made them virtual queens where they could go all over the world and be respected because of their cleanliness and their purity and their dignity. And not only did he do that, but he followed in Booker T. Washington's footsteps and began to build an economic empire using pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, and sometimes dollars that poor people willingly contributed to buy over 750,000 acres of farmland throughout the South and the Midwest to establish an agricultural industry where black people could grow our own organically grown food. And he built also supermarkets and canning factories and dairies and began to import millions of pounds of fish that was caught down in the waters near Peru, whiting fish, very healthy, good fish. And it was just a wonderful experience for many people to have their own franchise going out selling not only the fish, but also clothing and other things that were valuable in the homes. So to stand up for a man when many people were discarding him because of his not having a formal education to speak of. He only went to the fourth grade, only finished actually, I think, the third grade, had to drop out and work on the plantation. His father was a tenant farmer, one that worked in that capacity, working on the old plantations in the South in Georgia. And so Elijah, as a young boy, had to leave school and go work out in the fields. And he didn't get a chance even to finish elementary school, but became one of the most brilliant thinkers of our time. Very, very well read. People from all over the world came to seek his guidance on many different questions. And it was because of Muhammad Ali, who was well respected in the boxing world, because he was not only a gentleman that could fight, but he was a well-spoken person. He had won the Olympic gold medal in boxing a few years before. He won the heavyweight championship of the world from Sonny Liston. And then right after that, he declared that he was a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and a member of the Islamic faith. And he took a lot of flack for that, but eventually his Muslim name, Muhammad Ali, became one of the most famous names in American history. So he spoke out very, very strongly against racial injustice. He even spoke out against the war in Vietnam as a immoral war. Later, even some of the leaders that promoted that war admitted that it was, in fact, an immoral and an unwise war. But Muhammad Ali was one of the first famous people to take a stand, and he used his position as a sports celebrity to be able to voice his opinion. So yes, I believe, speaking for myself, that sports superstars are appropriately involving themselves in political controversies and things that need to be said, because people will listen to them and we need to hear the truth. So I'm going to go ahead now and open up the conversation to our guests. I see we have several guests that have joined us. And so we would like to start off with one of our regular panelists, someone that's been with us almost since the very beginning of the show, Mr. Pianchi from, I believe, St. Louis, Missouri. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I think it's come out already during the course of the program. So how are you tonight, Mr. Pianchi?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself, sir?
Good, good. Were you able to, I know I gave a little monologue there, but were you able to hear the basic conversational topic for tonight?
Yeah, I was. I read your caption,
okay,
which you had.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. Hope you're doing very well. Would you like to weigh in on the topic to begin to kick off the show?
Well, I think they shouldn't.
Go ahead.
Go
ahead. I want to hear the rest.
Well, I think that they shouldn't, because they have too much to lose. Now, people that want these football players to kneel and face fines, what they should do is, in their organization, their group, they should raise money where they can pay the players fines. That way the players don't have to take money out of their families' mouths and other personal things. So if you want players to do your bidding and be fined for it, then raise money and pay the fines. You know, we've seen these things go on forever with scholars like John G. Jackson that died, and rather than going and pursuing a professional career, he chose to do what they do. And when they die, you don't have enough money to even bury them. And you got to beg people to come up with money for burial. So I think that they should leave that stuff alone, especially when you're trying to embarrass the president of the United States, somebody at the caliber of that. You don't know at what point in the future you may have to cross that bridge. And the people going to say Muhammad Ali issue was that he was seeking exemption based on his religious status. It didn't have anything to do with any social issue politics. Of course, now he talked along the lines of that because of the organization he was involved in. But his issue mainly was because that he was seeking exemption from the military draft. I was awarded exemption from the military draft under a provision, and that's what he was seeking. When he first started out going through the process, a due process, he had to work his way all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the justice ruled, said yes, he could claim exemption because he was a minister. So that's where I stand on that. And not to be discounting, you know, what Mr. James done, I think it's honorable, but it's not unusual. Maybe people, that goes on all the time. And you know, another thing that made it so attractive now to any person to make charitable contribution is because of this administration tax reform make it more lucrative for people to make charitable a contribution, whereas now you can bunch them all together and be able to take advantage of the exemption earlier rather than spreading it out like it has been in the past. So a lot of things going on.
Are you still there, Mr. Washington?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had inadvertently put my phone on mute. But what I was saying was that we want to go ahead. We thank you for your contribution. It's very, very good points you made. We want to go ahead and invite some of our other callers to give their opinions. So We'd like to go to the next person that's in the queue. We really have a first come, first serve policy. So anyone that wants to chime in, you go right ahead, and then we'll wait until you're finished and somebody else can join in. So whoever wants to be next, go right ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Good evening, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. This is Chaplain Dale Ray. And
okay,
one of my.
Hey, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Hey, man. How you doing, man?
We're good. We're good. It's a nice evening here in Augusta, Georgia, and we're on our show with several friends. We expect we'll have more join us. We do this every Saturday night, kind of to wind up the week, and we always pick a topic that we hope will encourage people to speak their mind about important subjects that pertain to the Black community. And I guess you heard our friend and our regular panelist, Mr. Pianca's point of view, and maybe you heard mine in the beginning. We'd like to hear what is your point of view.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say God bless everybody out there. And one of my comrades, who's one of my team members on my nonprofit organization down in the Third Ward, he mentioned you and say you were out there. You was like homeless in San Francisco. Amen.
Not me, brother. No, I've never been
okay. Homeless
in San Francisco. That's our co-host who hasn't come on yet. He'll be on a little bit later. He's going to come on after a while. I've been in contact with him. He just couldn't come on at the beginning of the show. But he's the one that you're actually referring to, not me.
Yeah, I was homeless out there in San Francisco, and I could relate to him. I was a crack addict, man, for over 20 years. And I got 18 years clean through the grace of God. And I moved down here after the death of my daughter out there in San Francisco and 2009, and it's about reaching one, teaching one. And if you've been to the Shape Center, you know, right across the street over there, 3802, that church right there, Houston Praise and Worship, is where the bishop has allowed me to implement a 12-step program for the men and women out there who are out there lost. And it's about reaching one, teaching one. And I appreciate you put that word out. But to your point, for as politics playing a role, let me say this, man. We on the same page as far as, you know, what Martin Luther King, what did he say? He said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. So it doesn't matter if you're a basketball player or if you're cooking at McDonald's. You must stand for what's right. And it's about standing for what's right. And we love Ali. I miss him. And we'll see him again. But to your point, that's for sure. A lot of people are lost out there. You write about the Elijah Muhammad. He was definitely a leader. His legacy is still here. Ali's legacy in here. And that's what you and I want to do. We want to plant that seed, let God do the watering, and say, you know what? We need to stand up for what's right. There is power in unity. And if we stand together, we'll get it done. But there ain't no thing about it. I'm going to sit back in the background. I'm just going to watch it. That ain't what it's all about, because we walk on the shoulders of giants. We walk on the shoulders of Huey P. Newton, walk on the shoulders of Elbridge Cleaver, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, all of these people, man, and we have the strength. So whoever out there listening, you need to pass that word. You need to do what we're doing, is plant a seed, especially, you know, when a chaplain, I was going into the prisons and the jails. It's a lot of lost brothers in there, man. And only thing is, and you know, the only thing they don't know what to do. So it's about the recidivism. And I want to be a part of that. Now that I am clean and sober, I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm going to be that way all the way until God takes me away. I appreciate You being on the Blog Talk Radio, and are you familiar with the Shape Center?
I'm not very familiar. Our co-host, Dr. Haleem Mustafa, he's an honorary doctor. I call him doctor because he likes that particular title, and I don't have a problem with letting him use it on my show. But he's a very wise, very brilliant brother, and he's actually been down there. Today it's in Houston, right?
Yes, in the Third Ward, Alabama, Live Oak.
Yes. He was down there today. He's been down there quite a bit the last few days. He's working on a big, big charity project involving young people. And so he's been working with some of the movers and shakers there in Houston. And he even today he told me he was down there. So I haven't been down there. I've been to Houston a number of times, but I've never had I've never been over there yet. But yes, that's good. Everything you're saying, it's really good to hear you speaking on our program tonight.
You know, it's like we all are one, man. We are spoke in the wheel, man. That's the bottom line, man. And I was looking today at that lunch counter where back in the 60s, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. So that's what I speak to these black teens about. They constantly using this N-word, and it ain't cool. They setting us back. And I'll be telling them, we are black men, black kings and black queens. That's what we are. And so they give the our white counterpart a green light and say, well, they're not respecting each other, so why should we? We need to continue to educate these black kids. I talked to some the other day. They don't even know what Martin Luther King represented. They like, well, I heard his name. It's pitiful, man. So we need to continue. Your radio show is inspiring. And if you can give that brother my phone number, and I love to meet him. I'm down there teaching classes on Tuesdays, 10 a.m. until 12:30. And then on Thursdays, I'm there from 6 until 8:30 p.m. And I'm Chaplain Dale Ray, and I'm going to give you my number. Everybody else out there, you can grab my number, too. Those who are in addiction, you need recovery, come on, we need to do this together. I'm going to teach anger and domestic violence down there. We're creating some programs down there, man. And like I said, and when I got off of that ground out there in San Francisco, I was eating out of garbages. I was dressing out the garbages. And I'm telling you today, it's a force to be dealt with, because all I tell God, send me and I'll go. And that's where I'm at today. So my number is 415-756-0494, Chaplain Dale Ray, Dale Ray. And it's a spiritual 12-step program. Whoever who needs that recovery, we're going to walk through it together. Because I tell you what, that we are our brothers and sisters keepers. And I want to say God bless you, man. Keep on spreading that powerful message. And get that brother my contact. God bless you, sir.
Well, thank you, Chaplain Dale Ray. I sure will pass it on to him. I expect he'll join us after a little while. But certainly, if you'll stay on, we're going to have others that's going to be making some comments about the topic. And maybe they might want to stretch it a little bit and expand on some of the things that you just mentioned. But we want to go ahead and invite our other callers. We have another caller that joined us a little while ago. And hopefully our caller from the 832 area code, last three digits of your phone number, 290. We'd like to hear what you have to say about our topic. What do you think?
Hey, I guess y'all can hear me. This is Made. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with what Chaplin was saying. To me, if an athlete doesn't make that position, and try to do social good, then that's not a real athlete at all to me. I can't really get behind you. I can't support you. I don't want to see you run up and down or catch or whatever you're doing. I'm not really interested in it. If you're not interested in things that are bigger than sports, career only lasts so long, maybe like 20 years tops, especially if you're talking about basketball. The average human life is, well, it depends on who you are or how long your average human life is. I know for a young black athlete, a young black man, lifespan isn't estimated too long. Some people doing longer prison times than they get out in the streets. I don't have a lot to say about it, but I definitely like I hadn't gotten all the details on what LeBron is doing, but I mean, so far so good. I'm gonna have to give him the GOAT title. A lot of people say Jordan. Maybe on the court, Jordan was the man, but so far, I mean, Jordan ain't important when your baby ain't got no board, and that's what I say. And I see a lot of people spending $200 on Jordan, and their kids don't even have no milk. That's all I got to say. Shalom.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your input. Excuse me. Really appreciate your input. And, you know, we've gone around with the people who've joined us so far, and whatever we say probably will be just expanding on what we have said. But I'll take this opportunity to say thank you for those who have participated so far. And we do have others that like to listen via the internet, but for whatever reason don't want to come on the telephonic conversation, and that's fine. But if there are any out there who are listening via the internet, we certainly encourage and invite you to dial in. The number is 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. We invite you to let your voice be heard. The topic that we are discussing tonight is the question, is it appropriate for professional sports superstars to involve themselves in political controversies? And we've had several speakers, and we've had different opinions about it. I started off by giving my opinion. I gave this a lot of thought. I happened to hear about it on the news. I believe it was yesterday. It's a recent thing that has happened that piqued my interest, where, as I recall from looking at the news, LeBron James had criticized, it wasn't the first time he criticized President Trump. And according to what I remember, he said that President Trump was dividing the races. I'm not going to comment on my feelings about our president, and I have a number of reasons for that. One of them, of course, is the fact that he controls my pay. And you may say, oh, don't roll over for that. But the truth of the matter is, I'm just saying it like that. I'm a member of the Armed Forces of the United States, and one of the things that we learned from the very outset of our careers is to publicly criticize our senior, our leaders, our officers, especially our commander in chief. And so I'm not going to use this bully pulpit that I have to dishonor my oath, which I'm very, very committed to honoring, which is to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to obey the orders of the President of the United States and all officers appointed over me. So I'm not going to turn around and defile that oath by publicly criticizing. I may have personal opinions that I will express to my family and my close friends, but this is a global, worldwide blog talk show. This show goes all over the world because it's on the internet. And consequently, I'm going to restrain my comment concerning the president's behavior in office, et cetera, et cetera. But I will say this, that I honestly do believe that American citizens, whether they are, unless they're in a position like mine, whether they're sports figures or just regular everyday working people, that they should have freedom of speech. If they feel that our leaders are not behaving properly, that they're not behaving appropriately and honorably, they should not be muzzled. They should be able to be free. This is something that people fought and died for through all of our wars, fighting against the Nazis who had suppressed the freedom of speech during the 30s and 40s, fighting against the North Koreans who had suppressed the freedom of speech of the people in North Korea in the 50s, and even going back to the beginning of this country. And I think people should be free if they have to say, if they have something to say, even if it might not be complimentary, they should be free to say it. And I don't think the fact that they play basketball for a living should put a muzzle on them. That's my opinion. We've had several others to join us, and I think I see our dear friend, and sometimes we talk offline, and sometimes she joins us on the show. So she's here tonight. Judy, is that you, I see?
No,
okay,
this is
maybe.
Naj in it. This is Naj in Atlanta.
Judy,
yes,
has the same area code as you, and she told me earlier today we talked, and she said she'd be on it, and I just saw the area code. But it's great to hear your voice again. How you been?
I've been well, man. How you been?
I've been doing fine. Every day is a blessing. When you get to be my age, I'll be 75 on my birthday very soon. And when you get to be my age and you see so many classmates and friends that are leaving, you know, you look at every day with great joy and thanksgiving, and that's the way I feel. So I'm here today. I feel good, and it's great to be in this company with all of you. And are you familiar with the topic that we are talking about tonight?
Oh, yeah, very familiar.
Yeah, would you like to weigh in, give us your opinion?
Well, to piggyback on what you just spoke about, yeah, that's real important, the idea of freedom of speech. Matter of fact, if you don't actually practice freedom of speech, then what's the purpose of it? It's to be used. And the problem we have in this situation is the power dynamic is being upset. People don't like athletes to speak on the things that they don't like, but they're perfectly fine with athletes when they speak to things that they like. So when you see the breast cancer game in football where everybody's wearing pink every year, when you see the military flyover before the game starts, these are all political statements, but they're political statements that some people like who don't like the kneeling. So it becomes a thing of the things that they want said, they want to be said and displayed. But the things that they don't like, they want to put a muzzle on it. And that's where you come to the problem. You don't have free speech if you try to limit someone else's. So every football player and you know, some of the ones who've been willing to put their career on the line, like Kaepernick and others who are going to have problems, you know, with their management because of the stance that they're taking, those people need to be saluted and supported, because what they're actually doing is showing you that if they can't have freedom of speech in the workspace, how do you, regular employee, expect to have freedom of speech in any area of life? Because we're talking about, you know, the 0.01% talent class of people. Like, they can't just fire them and replace them. And if you think in your life you're going to have more freedom than that, then, you know, you're a little crazy. So I don't think the other side really has a legit argument. I think it's emotional nationalism, and to me, nationalism is always the wrong way to go. Like, if you believe in your country and all the things your country stands for, you also have to be able to accept the criticism that comes into play too. And honestly, without the criticism, we never actually progress. From the fight for women to the fight for black people to have equal access to the fight for, you know, unions and right labor rights and all these other different fights we had in this country. They were based on people being heard and making themselves heard.
Amen and already.
Well, that's a great statement. I want to give y'all a chance to take a little quick break. If you want to go and get, you know, a cool, refreshing beverage.
I want to comment too.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to make a comment. People can do whatever they really want. They just have to be willing to face the consequences. You know, I was talking to a person who's a representative here about a week ago, or Ameritrade. You remember that organization, don't you, Mr. Washington?
Yes, sir.
Pardon me?
I do.
So I asked him, I say, what could you do? What could you put me in if I had $10 million? And he started off and said, well, I could put you in, being the president that we have in office now, and we have to put you in something that can, you know, do well for you. And then I told him, I said, well, you know, it's because of his policy the reason I got this extra money to invest. And you should have seen the look that came on his face. You should have seen the look that came on his face. In the position that he in, he had no business saying that. Because I could say, well, you know, you're talking against somebody that I supported and voted for. I don't think I should do business with you. The same thing, similar thing happened when you had a automobile rental place, Enterprise, and they made the statement that they would no longer honor the perks that they gave to cardholders of the NRA, even though Enterprise has a large stake in a company which does very lucrative business in the U.S. prison system. So when they done that and they said that they could no longer honor, you know, recognize NRA cardholders, which I'm one, I said, okay. So one day I was going into a Walgreens, and outside they had these young girls, these black girls. They were Girl Scouts, and they was wanting to sell cookies. They had an adult there with them, and the lady said, would you buy some cookies? And I told her, I said, well, you know, the extra money that I would usually have from being able to save by using my NRA card when I rent cars, and then now that they don't accept them, I don't have that extra money no more, so I can't buy your cookies. So what I'm trying to get at is that, just like Michael Jordan said, that Republicans buy underwear too. Perfectly fine that you can say the things that you want to say and be able to face the repercussions. Because like I mentioned earlier, those who want professional football players to do things that their owner, the company, has said that you would draw a fine, I think it's $40,000, that's going to come out of their pocket. And they're working and earning money to raise a family. Those who want those professional football players, and I understand the cause, but those that want them to do that and face fines, why don't they go out and raise money through whatever means, fish dinners, GoFundMe, whatever, hot dogs and barbecue, whatever, and raise money where they can pay the fine for these players themselves. That way they don't have to be out of it, out of their own pocket.
Yeah, it comes out of the NFLPA. They've been working on this. See, the problem with this is it's a labor negotiation being done in public.
I wasn't finished talking.
Well, you took a long pause, so I thought that was sensible, like, to come in. And I wasn't trying to be rude, but.
Well, that's unnatural for you not to be rude.
Well, I'm not throwing any shots at you. I'm going to stick with the issue because I know I'll win on the issue.
But it's just like LeBron James' school that I hear people say it's his school. It's not his school. It's a public school. It belongs to the school district. What he's doing is admirable, just like we have Peter Danford here in St. Louis who started City Academy for black kids to prepare them, whereas they can be able to hold their own when they go to these college preps. just like the Jesuits done with Loyola Academy there on Washington Avenue in St. Louis, right behind Cardinal Ritter College Prep High School, so that they can come out and go into that high school or DeSmet and be able to carry their own. Same way the Jesuits done with Trinity grade school, so that when the kids come out, they'd be able to go in the St. Louis U and be able to hold their own. So people do those things, and it's made, and thanks to the tax reform, charitable donations of that sort can be, for a more general description, can be bunched together where you can take advantage of them much, much earlier than before. So that's all I wanted to put out there. You know, it's okay to do those things, but be prepared to face the consequences. Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Now, to correct what he just said, the NFL fines go to charity. So the players are actually aligning with a lot of local black charities to make sure that the fines go there. But like I said, this is essentially a labor dispute being played out in public. The NFL ownership is trying to get away with creating a unilateral rule saying you have to do this that wasn't collectively bargained. Because when you collectively bargain, if you give something, then, you know, there's some give and take. If they say they want you to do this at the anthem, then you got to give something away as far as guaranteed contracts or something else that the players want. So they're trying to run over the players, run roughshod over them, and institute this rule without a sit down, without any negotiation. That's where you see all the fallout from this. The NFL ownership never should have done this in this fashion. They're going to have problems going forward because of that. Now, when he talked about different businesses and how people shouldn't give you their political affiliation at a business, yeah, that's understandable. If you're a business, you want to get some of everybody's money. You don't want to upset any group. That's understandable. That's totally different when we're talking about sports teams. They're playing in publicly financed stadiums. They're playing as essentially operating as nonprofits, meaning we're talking about private money is the only thing there. The profit is private. Everything else is public, from their tax designation to the stadium that they play in. Now we move over to look at it like this. People who kneel actually caused a spike in entertainment for the NFL. Why? The people who were upset about it watched the beginning of every game to see who kneeled, and then would seek out that player on social media to let them know how they felt about it. To me, that's the only real American response. The people who like it can cheer for that player. The people who don't like it can boo at that player. That's the way it's supposed to be, not limiting speech, not telling people they have to do this, that, and the third. Because if we want to remove politics from sports, you got to get rid of that military flyover. You got to get rid of all the Army recruiting that goes on at every football game, because the Army has always singled out football as one of the best recruitment vehicles that they've ever found. And you've got to remove everything that's political there. The breast cancer awareness game, you know, where everybody's wearing pink, the stuff for cancer, you got to get rid of that, because now we're talking about if politics is gone, then all politics have to be gone. You can't just say, not the politics I don't like.
Well, that's a real profound.
Well, you know,
Breast cancer awareness is not political. Where is it that it falls under any political party? We have breast cancer walks here. Hang on for a second.
It's political because you're taking a position. So if you say the breast cancer should be there, okay, what about the AIDS patients? What about the hemophilia? You see why it goes that way? When the NFL hold on, because I'm explaining this to you, because I've did sports reporting for a while. When the NFL fines players for wearing something that's not a part of the uniform, like your socks are too high or something is off, or you try to write your cousin who died's name on your shoes, you know why the NFL says, no, you can't do that? Because if they allow one, they would have to allow them all. The only reason the breast cancer thing hasn't had any pushback or whip, or matter of fact, they had a feminist, appeal last year. Because of all the fallout from domestic violence. They actually ran commercials on domestic violence. They worked with some women's organizations, actually brought one into the NFL offices. She's now a board member. Now, you could say, okay, that's good advocacy. That should be done, which is what I would say. somebody else could say, wait a minute, that's political. You're picking a side and saying this side is correct. So, yeah, all things are political in society. And if you choose one platform, then how are you turning down the other ones?
Well, the thing is with the platform, it's a place that you can do. Free speech does not exist in private workplace. Free speech only exists in public workplace. That's why the Constitution says that Congress shall not. It doesn't say
and
a private
employer.
And
what kind of stadiums are these? That I just went over this. What kind of stadiums are we playing?
Yeah,
in
but the teams are paying for those stadiums.
No, they're not. These are publicly financed stadiums. You can look up every single one, man. Like, this is not anything new. Matter of fact, if the public refuses to take the tax hike and pay for the stadium, the team will threaten to move to another city. This is a tactic that is working.
Well, they do that anyway. The St. Louis Rams left city of St. Louis.
Yep.
And the city of St. Louis is still faced with several years of paying to pay that stadium off. By the way, which I made a lot of money on in the construction. I don't care if they build a new stadium every month. But the thing is that players, if they want to do what they're doing, then they should face whatever consequences have come. And also, your crowd, breast cancer is a purpose that many people agree with. But some things that you want to bring out on the playing field as your political issue, whatever it is not one that everybody wants to agree with. So what is the issue? Is it police brutality? Heck, the majority of blacks don't have that problem.
Well,
the majority
lie,
of whites don't have
that problem. Because the majority of blacks have agreed with Kaepernick. His foundation has seen a skyrocket of funding. And
well, that's great. Then
been.
They should
so
what they
true.
Should do is fund that. But what I'm saying is, when you poll and you ask and you question black people, they say that the police, the being shot by police, is the least thing that's on their mind.
Yeah, you just confused the two topics. You just said being shot by the police and police brutality. Police brutality.
Well,
is
that is the ultimate.
They did.
Well, being
shot. That's
well, being shot by a police officer. Being shot by a police officer is the ultimate. A violation of
that's
the Fourth
the
Amendment
outcome,
because you have
but
detained
police
him.
Police brutality doesn't always mean a shooting. Police brutality can mean everything from verbal.
Well,
abuse
I was trying to include
of
all of it.
Beating.
And I was
well,
trying to include
that.
All of it. And also, another thing, that's the municipality's issue. They are your employee. The control of police departments across the country are the behavior of a police officer in your municipality is not the issue of the president.
Well, Pianchi, I agree with you on that. I think you have good solutions when you talk about locals and handling the business of their municipality. I think you have good solutions on that. But we're talking about athletes who said we see something going on and we know it's been going on because they've experienced it themselves. Matter of fact, Malcolm Jenkins did a long op-ed that you can read where he talks about the things he went through growing up and some of his friends and family went through. So when people
well, still,
know that this is an issue and they want to raise awareness
still within,
towards
yeah.
it, why would you go towards them and attack them as opposed to saying, damn, okay, we need to actually fix this? That's why I'm trying to understand you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Malcolm Jenkins, see, where I am, I'm not in Malcolm Jenkins' municipality. That ain't my responsibility. That's the people in that municipality's responsibility. And I don't want to be reminded on that or try to be coerced in getting involved in what's going on in his or her municipality. That's their employees.
Other people feel differently. They are galvanized by this. They are working with the players, creating organizations, and trying to change things. You don't have to agree with them. That's fine. My thing is, why are you so quick to go after the people who are bringing this up as opposed to going after the people who are committing these atrocities? That's my issue with you.
Well, I go against the people that's committing these atrocities, especially when I ask people, why come you didn't go out and vote? Give you an example. And I've gave this example before. In Ferguson, Mayor Knowles, a longstanding mayor who had been there all through Mike Brown's incident, and even before then, he was up for re-election a year ago. Blacks didn't come out and vote him out. So apparently they satisfied with what he was doing, the way things were going. Nobody seems to ever ask people entirely. They only ask a few. It's usually the ones that's causing the riffraff that's asked these questions. As I said before, if you don't come out and vote out a mayor that you apparently don't like, then that's the onus is on you. Maybe they do like him. You got Bob McCullough is up for election this August, too. Let's see if he gets reelected. LeBron James School.
Let's just say the voting.
Hang on for a second.
The voting lines in Ferguson are extremely tilted towards race. You'll see the
No, it's not.
Yes, they are.
Well, no, it's not. And I'm going to tell you why. Because blacks make up the majority of the population in Ferguson.
Exactly. Which was my point. It's extremely tilted towards race. And you're saying you think McCullough has a shot at winning. I doubt McCullough.
McCullough is not a prosecutor. McCullough is not a prosecutor in Ferguson. He's a prosecutor for St. Louis County.
I understand that. I just want to finish what I was saying. But go ahead. I'm going to wait. Because I see.
So if people don't like what he's doing, then guess what? They got an opportunity to come out and vote the man out. Let's see what happens.
So you've given us your opinion. Your opinion is these people need to be voted out, and local elections are going to determine how this goes.
No, I'm saying that. No, don't put words in my mouth. Let me tell you what I said. I'm sure everybody. I say if people don't like what's going on politically, then basically they need to go out and vote for a different person, a different representative, or a different issue.
Okay. Again, that's your politics. Your politics says this is how this problem is solved. A lot of other people disagree with you. They've created this movement, and that movement is gaining steam. Why? Because people have, I guess you could say, experienced similar treatment and believe what is being said about these police departments. Now, you can come up with every solution you can about why they're wrong, about how they should handle it a different way. My thing is this. If you're not a part of that area, how would you know? And then why do you think you should have the answer to what ails them? I think a more appropriate thing to do would be to listen to them and say, okay, this is what's going on here. That's what's going on here. Okay, how do we solve it? As opposed to coming top down and telling them they're wrong. Y'all just need to vote and sit down and shut up. I think that's a cowardly position. And I think, matter of fact, if you study this NFL thing a little more, what you'll see is this is reminiscent of Jesse Owens. This is reminiscent of Muhammad Ali. This is all these different sports fights all over again, where mainstream society is telling black athletes to shut up and dribble. But this version of black athletes, which is a little more empowered and a little more aware, is saying, no, that's not enough. My life is fine, but life for other people concern me.
Muhammad Ali's position was a whole different thing. We talked about that earlier. I guess you're going to have to go to the archives and hear what we spoke on. I'm not going to speak on that again. And as I said before, what goes on in Ohio is not my responsibility. My responsibility
so
is what
even,
goes on in
my...
Would you let me finish saying what I'm saying? Why are you so disruptive, man?
Same reason you were interrupting me. So
I was not interrupting you. You paused, and I went on to another issue. My goodness.
Little tit for tat. Little tit for tat, man. You'll be okay.
Well, I don't believe in no tit for tat. As I said before, that is somebody else's issue. Ain't nothing. I don't vote in those communities. We can make some references, yes, but it's not my call. I do not vote in those issues, and just like anybody else.
So why do you think your opinion is important if you don't care about those issues because that's not local to you? So why would you even address it?
The opinion that I made was directed to this community that we live in, this area.
Yeah, we went from NFL protests to you trying to shoehorn Ferguson in here. When we're actually talking about protests from NFL players where people are actually putting their livelihood on the line because they're so concerned with an issue.
And Mr. Washington asked everybody.
Foolish, that's fine.
And Mr. Washington asked people's opinions, and I gave my opinion.
But you also admitted that you care about your locality. You don't really care how it works out over there. These people think differently.
The reason I've done that, because supposedly one of the reasons why come the gentleman was taking a knee was because of police brutality. You remember I said shooting,
that
and you said
–
Well, let me get. Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you understand? I'm not experiencing police brutality in my community. And if we do, we addressed it.
Well,
let's have done it in these communities surrounding Ferguson.
Let's try this a different way. If we were talking about domestic
violence, I tell you what,
hang on for a second.
No, hang on for a second. I'm not done. I'm not done. I think we need to let Mr. Washington get back to his show because I get sick and tired of arguing with you on these issues.
Yeah, somebody better help you. Because if we're talking about domestic violence, you could simply see that it's wrong. It's not a thing of you having to experience it to understand that something is wrong.
Well, you had a kid shot. You had a man shot in the back in Chicago. Apparently, whatever they're doing is not stopping it, right?
So to say that the work being done hasn't stopped it completely means what? That they should just fold up the tent and go home?
In Chicago, one weekend, I think the weekend of Memorial Day, you had 21 shootings in 14 hours.
Mm-hmm. And you also saw the nonviolence rally stop, not down, shut down the highway, and you saw that group activated out there, BYP 100. You can look them up. Mothers Against Violence. You can look them up. These people are in Chicago doing that daily work. Now, Chicago right now is experiencing a downscale of that violence that we've experienced the last couple of years. Trump supporters always try to take credit for it. Now you're telling me about how it's out of control again. So
no, I didn't say it was out of control. I said I guess you could say it's out of control. That's why you have this protest just recently, this week.
Yep.
And also, that's probably why you had over 3,000 millionaires move off of North Shore Drive, which is heavily black populated. People dress things with their feet the same way that blacks sleep Washington, D.C. They left in a quiet manner. Mm-hmm. And maybe the reason why this stuff is starting dying down, if the issue of people getting shot, okay, well, sooner or later, it's naturally going to stop because there won't be anybody to shoot.
Well, I don't know about that as far as real process. But no, my problem is this, if you don't agree with this issue, that's fine.
Ms. Bill, let me jump in here for a minute, because we've had some silent contributors that haven't spoken in a while. Just hold your points, and let's see if one of the others.
Yes, sir.
Chaplain, get in here and say something on this point. We really started off talking about the superstars in general. We were really referring, even though we didn't get into detail about it, to the LeBron James case where he criticized the president's dividing the people, especially with a lot of the tweets and things. We got into the thing about the end of NFL. But in general, the question we're trying to deal with is it appropriate for professional sports superstars to involve themselves in political controversy? Of course, we've been around and given our opinions, but would one of you all who hasn't spoken in the last 15, 20 minutes like to say something? Well, I guess maybe not. Sometimes people just like to listen after they've said their piece. We're going to close up in a few minutes. I was expecting that.
Well, Mr. Washington, can I make one more point, though, before you do close? I know you got to finish, but I just want to make one more point.
I'll say, you can keep talking. I was just saying if we were finished talking, I was going to close. But if you still want to keep talking, we got another 45 minutes on our time slot, so keep going.
I can chime in, too.
Yeah, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals on the team webpage put up an endorsement for the Supreme Court candidate that Trump wanted. Now, if you don't consider this political speech, if you don't consider this using the team's forum for political speech, I don't know what to tell you. So at a certain point, it becomes it's okay for us to do, but not okay for you to do. Then we go to the $1,000 a plate dinners hosted by Jerry Jones of the Dallas Cowboys and other NFL ownership for Donald Trump during his election campaign. They made contributions. They made themselves willing advocates for him on the campaign trail, and they made everybody know this was our man. So if we're going to criticize players saying they should they should not be political because this is a team, you have to hold the ownership to account in that same way. There's a book by Howard Bryant just came out, which kind of goes into this, not only from the 60s, but till now. And you can kind of draw a straight line. I'm really kind of mad I missed that conversation y'all had earlier where y'all talked about previous athletes on this. But this is the same discussion. This is the same discussion. They want people to shut up, be quiet, and take the money. But some people have a different type of calling in their life, and they feel like important things need to be talked about. And if you're going to suppress their speech, then you can't allow the ownership side to have their political speech out there in front of everybody. And Pianki addressed one thing, but he sure as hell didn't address those military flyovers in every game. That's political speech. That's Army recruiting.
Yeah, but you're recruiting for the United States military, which protects us all. And owners having dinner, fundraising dinner, is not being done in front of an audience who pay, by the way, to see an activity. They're not paying to see that. I mean, I don't understand how you can even relate. Well, wait a minute. You asked me a question. You asked a question and you always want to break in. But I don't see how the two even relate. I mean, you're working in a workplace. I've seen people fired for wearing badges that said, "I love being black," which I thought was wrong, but that's their workplace. In public schools, you cannot wear certain articles of clothing that have certain speech on it. In your colleges, what you print in the college newspaper has to be scrutinized before they're allowed to be printed. So what are you going to do? The court that says that's legal, it's all right for that to happen. I mean, that's just the way
so
it is.
I expect the same.
Now, I'm not saying, and hang on for a second, let me finish. If players want to do that, it's fine. Let them do it. But they have to be willing to face the consequence. You had a similar instance that happened with another college team. You had it here in Missouri, where Missouri players was going to boycott the Syracuse team. And lo and behold, decades earlier, Syracuse was involved in another incident where college players was going to boycott. Well, those black players all got kicked off the team. You had some Little League teams that done the same similar thing. Little League football teams have done the same similar thing as they see the NFL counterparts doing, and they got kicked out of the league. So there's no outcry about that action. But, you know, like I said before, if you can do those things, but be willing to face the consequences. If you want some individuals to do that, then come together and raise money to pay the consequences that they're going to have to face. I'm not paying.
As I said, the NFLPA is already doing that. And the other part is you didn't address the Arizona Cardinals owner putting up the Supreme Court justice we wanted to be elected to be sat.
Yeah, but he's
MP.
Not. Where is he doing this? Is he demonstrating? Is he giving this to the fan?
Hold on. You cutting in. Hold on. Yes, that's on the team webpage. The problem is you think there should be consequences for some but not consequences for others. The thing is everybody should have their free speech. I don't want to take away Jerry Jones' ability to give to the candidate he likes or host a dinner for the candidate he likes. My problem is Jerry Jones then turning around and telling the players that they can't say what they want about who they appreciate and who they like. That's the issue.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals owner putting that on the website is not putting it in front of audience that's there to watch the game. I really don't understand how the two even meet. But what if they was advertising on their website association with the United Negro College Fund? Should that be allowed?
That's a charity, and you can actually find those on NFL website. You can find them and other organizations. As a charity, that's perfectly fine. Again,
I'm
not trying to limit anybody's free speech. My problem with you is you think there should be consequences for things you don't like, but the other free speech you think should be let go. And I'm saying, no, there should be no consequences for anybody. Free speech should be out there.
But that's your opinion, And if you were to keep up with the actions, wait a minute. You threw it to me. You say you got a problem with me. I'm telling you what goes down. When you exercise free speech in an environment where you're not supposed to, you're going to get ran off. If my employees come to my job site exercising their free speech of something that I think that's inappropriate, well, I'm gonna address them on it. That's the way it happens.
Your employees can be replaced a dime a dozen. NFL players are in a strategic position because they can't be replaced. These are people who are that top one percentile of athletes, which is why they're there. So it would be like us telling Google or Facebook or one of these, like, you know what I mean, going to Mark Zuckerberg, hey, Zuckerberg, we don't like that you gave Hillary Clinton X amount of dollars. From now on, you're banned from giving some money to any politician. No, Zuckerberg gave the money, and nobody batted an eye. Why? Because he should be able to make his political affiliation. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't think that what you're saying about they can't be replaced, don't no one monkey stop a show. You got players in the Canadian Football League can come down and play. You know, we had an incident here in St. Louis.
But
man, come on, would you let me say what I got to say? It does it not seem suspicious how you like to cut people off when they talking?
Sir, you just cut me off a minute ago, and you don't even remember.
And you was done.
I think you're getting dementia.
Well, from now on, tell me what you done.
I think you're getting a little up there, Bianca. You just
no, I tell you, rather than being insulted, let me know when you're done.
Okay, I'll just say this then. I think Bianca's problem with me cutting in on him is kind of a good qualifier for the conversation. He thinks things should be right for one class of people, but for other people they should be restricted. So he can cut in on me, but when I cut in on him, it's an outrage. Perfectly.
All I ask is for you to tell me when you done.
I'm done.
No, I'm going to talk, if you don't mind. As I said before, if they want to do that, they should be willing to face the consequences, whatever the consequences may be. I gave you some example, even gave you example with my company. If you come in with something that's inflamed, well, you stand a chance of being ran off. There has been instances where people have been ran off of jobs because of what they had on. If a football owner want to have verbiage on their website, that's not demonstrated in front of a television screen. It's not demonstrated in front of the television. And I think that the networks do very well when they don't put the cameras on them. I'm done.
I'm done as well. There's really no need to continue the conversation.
And I need 1 minute if y'all don't mind.
I'm
yes,
sorry,
sir.
Brother.
Okay.
I cut you off and didn't let you back in. I'm sorry, brother.
Well, you do that all the time.
Well, listen, thank you all. Thank everyone that's participated. This was a lively discussion. That's what families do. This is the African-American Family Room Forum. We get together like family. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we agree. But it's all right to agree, disagree. And I think we've had a good chat. I love it. Because I love hearing how people have family kind of conversations. So we're going to do this again as long as we can keep it going. But tonight I think we've reached the end of the talk. Unless somebody wants to say a final closing statement, I'm going
to
play.
I do.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to wrap it up in like 1 minute. Sports is like a billion, if not trillion-dollar industry. It's bigger than the automotive industry. To me, it's you got billionaires fighting millionaires. Last time I checked, 2/3 of humans lived in poverty. I don't see why sports is as big as it is. I started watching years ago. I started watching football when Barry Sanders retired. I'm like, I don't know, 33 going on 12. I feel like there are bigger, more important things to pay attention to and to play. Trump and LeBron issue, I'm going to say that I think that exists, in my humble opinion, just because of the bigger issues that are not being addressed, which is the 2/3 of humans living in poverty, while other people are buying, athletes buying, I don't know, $8 million cars and diamonds and all that. It don't really make sense to me.
They really want to.
I can't argue with none of that, brother. What you just said is the truth. Those are more important issues, but yeah, we do get caught up in the day to day of, you know, what media puts out and what stories are kind of hot. So I mean, yeah, you're right. I can't argue with that.
At the same time, Captain Delray Smith is working on some issues that'll trust some solutions that can maybe help remedy some of those issues, get some people focused on some of the people that are not making news stories, whatever the media pushes. That's a whole other radio show, I guess. That's it, I'm done.
That was a good point you made. And you're absolutely right. I haven't heard the public, people in conversation, complaining about athletes that have houses with 13 bathrooms. Well, that's their money. They spend their money like they want to. If a person want to have spinning rims on his car, that's his money. They spend it like they want to. If an athlete or anyone else don't want to donate to your cause, that's their money. Go finance your cause in another way. And I don't understand this, that in all this thing about we all, you know, Mr. Washington, I would like to invite you maybe to a conversation where around a family, if we want to call people gathering and give them the title of a family, well, we don't have this hooping and hollering and shouting and cursing and stuff. I think it's a little bit more civil and a lot more things get done. But, you know, just like in the game, family feuds, every family have their own peculiarities. All of them not the same, for sure, but you have a lot of them that follow along the same path. And that's okay. That's okay, because you don't have to get involved in it if you don't want to. You don't have to spend money with them if you don't want to. And, you know, I appreciate what Mr. James has done as far as the school is concerned, just like I made mention that I appreciate what others have done, whites in particular included, in this area with schools that's pertaining for black kids. And here's another point, too. Those that's praising the school, let's see how many in the community go and volunteer to help tutor the children. Because apparently, as what I've read and heard, these children are behind where they're supposed to be. That's another reason why I come out for school choice, where parents don't have to keep their children locked into these situations that produce these type of outcomes. But once again, people in the community, if you really care about it, then volunteering to go into the schools and work in the classroom and help those students be able to achieve the type of academic performance that they should be achieving. The school board should allow a budget that will pay retirees that can come in and do the same thing and get paid, which can supplement their retirement. Providing clothes, washing machines, those things is nothing new. Those have been going on for decades in school buildings. What makes it work? Man, see, there you go again.
I'm sorry, your speech was a little slow. Maybe you were just taking a pause.
Well, you need to sit on your hands. And as I said before,
memory exercise.
These things are not nothing new. But what would be new if people went into the classroom and assist the teachers and provide the resources, to provide the tutoring that a child needs in order to be academically successful. I'm done.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. This academy, you're not bringing people off the street to come in and tutor. They actually have the money to place the tutors there that are needed. They're going to run the school damn near 24/7. They're going to treat it as a community hub. He's starting off with third grade because that's where you catch kids who are falling behind, and they're going to expand to fourth and seventh. But they're also putting in a jobs program for the parents, not only food assistance in a food bank, but they're understanding that you can't just think that a school is some kind of safe haven that kids run from terrible situations. The answer is to fix the terrible situation. So by keeping it public, they're going to get the public funding that they get, but also the funding from LeBron James Foundation. And they also have the accreditation to where if you graduate, you're going to go to Akron, the college there in Akron. So they're already setting the future there as well. So this is going to be not only
the volunteer service there is going to be overwhelming because people are going to want to go to that building because you're going to make connections in life as far as for work, as far as for what your child can achieve, because you're going to find people who can connect them with things. But this is going to be a game changer for the city of Akron. And honestly, like, the cynical part of me says LeBron James is going to be one of the wealthiest people ever born in Ohio, because he's also going to provide the jobs later on for these children that he is educating later on the back end. That's the unsaid on this. But by keeping it public, he's not causing any public school close down, not causing any funds being transferred to private hands. He is actually uplifting his community. And, I mean, he should be commended on it. They're talking about a food bank and a pantry there for the people of lesser means. I mean, this is next level as far as what this school is going to be and what they're doing. And the good part is they're taking it slow. He's only doing third grade at first, and then they're going to expand. So, you know, salute to LeBron James. And for a person who's sitting in the office of the president to criticize LeBron James after a move like this and call him dumb on social media kind of shows you the character of that man who was elected, but also the lack of intelligence. That man started Trump University and got sued and had to pay $24 million because it was an uncredentialed fake university, and he's jealous of this young athletic superstar who is actually doing things that matter to people's lives. So, you know, salute to LeBron James.
You done?
God bless y'all, man. And, you know, I love that dialect, and you're so right about that, man. And, again, it's Chaplain Dale Ray. And I love this when we come together like this, man. It is vitally important. But besides, we can't leave it all on LeBron. We have the neighborhood. We have the community. And what happened in them days when a whole neighborhood raised a child? And we need to do our part, too, to come together in the neighborhood. We could do this. We can create the black businesses that used to be. We can do this if we quit all of this me, man. And Garner, I love you, and I'll see you Tuesday down there, my brother. Thank you for the shout out, and continue doing what you're doing, my radio host, and the other brother that was on there speaking. God bless each and every one of y'all. And everything that you touch, I hope it turns gold so we can pass it on to our youth. We need to invest.
And, you know, if I may say something, many of the things that people are talking about, they aren't new. The urban leagues are in those cities that provide job training for individuals. You wanted to model about the food banks. There's public schools in Kansas City, Missouri. Chick School had food banks. Also, when children came to school and they clothes were dirty, they had washer and dryer there so the kids could wash and dry their clothes. They had a program through Title I where they could be fed breakfast, lunch at reduced rate or probably free. They also have programs where they are latchkey kids where they can be fed dinner too. And why are they waiting on their parents to come pick them up? So these programs are not new. They've been around for decades, a long, long time. And why the people in Akron have not adopted that, if in fact that they do already have it, well, it's beyond me. But as I said before, one thing that has to be done is that the children have to perform. They have to pass their tests that measure if they are receiving and retaining the information. If not, the school district is going to change all that, take all those tennis shoes off the wall, and they're going to do something different. And I've seen them do that.
I would just say the places that you can in the past are
finish,
nowhere near
man? My
this.
Goodness, why are you cutting
you
in on
take
me
a
like
look
that?
At that facility. Well, you just tried to downplay this.
I'm not downplaying anything. I was giving
an
example of what's already going on.
The organization who are contributing to it, and you get a better idea. Your negative idea.
Mr. Washington, I'll see you next week when you have individuals like this that continue to cut in and show disrespect. don't have any civil manner of having a discussion, I don't know what to tell you.
I'm sorry your feelings are hurt.
My feelings are not hurt. It's embarrassing, really.
I'm sure.
And you can go on their website and donate. Go ahead.
That's the issue. They don't need donations.
There's other schools in that city. There's other schools in that community that need similar attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you give me an organization there that we can donate to right now, or are you just talking?
No, I say why don't you go on their website or go on another school site, and I'm sure that you can find some place where you can donate. I tell you who you can donate to. Donate to Umar Johnson.
I don't support his ideas. So no, I wouldn't.
Why not? It's about educating kids, eh?
Nope. I support the public schools in that local in that locality, but not that brother. Nothing personal. Just not a fan. Just not a fan.
Well, you're allowed to have those opinions. Are not other people allowed to have theirs?
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Washington.
Okay. Well, I guess we can wrap it up. I'm going to play something. I hope, you know, we'll soothe everybody's...
Play some good patriotic music, will you?
Well, you might want to call it patriotic. I don't know, but we're going to play this for you.
We're now reading from my book, Booker T. Washington.
I think I'll change and play some music. I was... thinking about playing that, but we're going to go ahead. I want y'all to hear this. We usually end with our Black National Anthem, but I really think we should play this one tonight. This is We Shall Not Be Fooled.
Not be moved like a tree that's planted by the
you want to go ahead and this program in archives, and there may be those that need this, what we're going to share. So we're going to go ahead and end with this instead of just playing out the music. This is from the book of Second Chronicles of the Bible, chapter 6. Then Solomon said, "The Lord said he would dwell in thick darkness, but I have built an exalted temple for you, a place for your residence forever." And then the king turned and blessed the entire congregation of Israel while they were standing. He said, "May the Lord God of Israel be praised. He spoke directly to my father David, and he has fulfilled the promise by his power. He said, 'Since the day I brought my people Israel out of the land of Egypt, I have not chosen a city to build, a temple among any of the tribes of Israel so that my name would be there. And I have not chosen a man to be ruler over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem so that my name will be there. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. And now it was in the heart of my father David to build a temple for the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel. And however, Yahweh said to my father David, 'Since it was your desire to build a temple for my name, you have done well to have this desire, and yet you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own offspring, will build the temple for my name.' So Yahweh has fulfilled what he promised, and I have taken the place of my father David, and I sit on the throne of Israel, as Yahweh promised. And I have built the temple for the name of Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. And I have put the ark there where Yahweh's covenant is, that he made with the Israelites." And then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire congregation of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a bronze platform 7.5 feet long and 7.5 feet wide and 4.5 feet high, and put it in the court. He stood on it and knelt down in front of the entire congregation of Israel and spread out his hand towards heaven. And he said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping his gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with their whole heart. And you have kept what you promised to your servant, my father David. You spoke directly to him, and you fulfilled your promise by your power as it is today. And therefore, Lord God of Israel, keep what you promised to your servant, my father David. You will never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons guard their way to walk in my law as you have walked before me. And now, Lord God of Israel, please confirm what you promised to your servant David. But will God indeed live on earth with man? Even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain you, much less this temple that I have built. Listen to your servant's prayer and his
petition, Lord my God, so that you may hear the cry and the prayer that your servant prays before you, and so that your eyes watch over this temple day and night, Lord, the place where you said you would put your name, and so that you may hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. Hear the petitions of your servant and your people Israel, which they pray toward this place. May you hear in your dwelling place in heaven. May you hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath, and he comes to take an oath before your altar in this temple, may you hear in heaven and act. May you judge your servants, condemning the wicked man by bringing what he has done on his own head, and providing justice for them by rewarding him according to his righteousness. By rewarding him according to his righteousness. If your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they return to you and praise your name, and they pray and plead for mercy before you in this temple, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. And may you restore them to the land you gave them and their ancestors. And when the skies are shut and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and praise your name, and they turn from their sins because you are afflicting them, may you hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and your people Israel, so that you may teach them the good way they should walk in. And we're going to close with that. We thank everyone who has tuned in and listened tonight. And keep in mind that a God has given us his word to teach us the good way that we should walk in. And our program, our weekly program, is just a small effort to help us to learn from each other so that we can live according to the guidance of God and walk in the good way. And now we close with our song that we love to play, Lift Every Voice and Sing.